Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in.
Welcome, everybody. I don't know. I feel like we used to be in this really good flow with starting, and I knew what I was going to say. And now we click record, and I don't know what I'm going to say. And so we just ramble for a minute, and then finally we get moving. And the listeners are probably like, would they quit talking about how they're going to start the podcast and just start it?
We did this thing where we shortened our intro so it would only be a few seconds long, and then we ramble in the beginning, and then so that's hopefully right.
Our retention rate just drops.
It plummets. You know, I had the thought today that I would just like start in on a conversation, but then that feels abrupt too. I think the Midwesterner in me is just like, no, you've got to be polite. You've got to welcome people.
That's funny. Well, we can jump in now. It's been long enough. But one of the things we wanted to talk about today is, in a broad view, this idea that when something is manifesting in your body, it's because it's like your body's sending you a signal of something that's going on. But sometimes you can't reconcile that with your mind, like with your thoughts. Like it doesn't make a clear connection. And so we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. And like one of those in my life was in 2022. I struggled with like pretty hardcore anxiety for about a year on a daily basis, to where it like was made it hard to do normal things. But what was challenging was in my mindset, I was having a really hard time identifying what the source of it was. And everybody that I talked to told me, well, anxiety is a fear of the future. Anxiety is a fear of the future. But I was having a hard time reconciling that in my conscious thoughts. And it made that journey like kind of challenging. And I like found myself looking for anything that made sense. And so like, oh my gosh, is this a witchcraft attack? Or like, is this the weight of father and my body's just not used to handling that? Is it a fear of the future? Is it like, I looked for every possible thing that I could grasp that just made any sense, because I needed something to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever figure out what it was consciously?
Well, I know that in the moment I was dealing with a lot of like unresolved thoughts. And so like, you know, maybe if you really boiled it down, fear of the future might make the most sense. But I wouldn't have phrased it that way. And I still probably wouldn't phrase it that way. Mm-hmm. Even though like, if you really put it in its simplest term, you might be able to call it that. But there was like a lot of transition happening in my life. There was a lot of transition happening in the world. And there was a lot of things that I was holding as promises, or things I wanted to be promises. Mm-hmm. And they weren't panning out. Like I wasn't seeing the fruit of them.
Yeah.
And that just like, it really caused a lot like issues in processing things, because I didn't have a clear conscience. Like I was very torn. And I think, you know, the Bible talks about how a house divided can't stand. Like I think as much as that applies to a marriage or as much as that applies to leadership in a business or anything. It applies to you as an individual. And when you're divided within yourself, it makes it very hard to do just about anything. It makes it hard to make a good decision moving forward.
Sure. This is a strange question, but do you feel like those anxiety attacks were your body's responses to something unconscious or subconsciously that was going on? Or was it your body's or your mind's reaction that was kind of like, which one was reacting, I suppose, is what I'm asking.
It feels like a very much so chicken or the egg thing. Because there's definite moments that I can think of where I would have a thought that would lead to a physical response. And there was moments where seemingly there was a physical response and then a thought. However, I lean more towards it was my body first, then my mind. And part of that is lived experience. And part of that is also like some science that I've read on just how like the pharmacy of our brain works. And it very often functions as a response to what we do, even if it's like milliseconds. Like you might not even ever be able to tell the difference. But like there was a study that was done, and I don't even know if it was really conclusive, but they studied when you are walking through the woods and you see a bear, are you scared and then you start running, or do you start running and then you get scared? And it was studying this question that we're asking, like, which one was it, your brain or your body? Mm-hmm. And at least in a fair majority of the tests that they did, the person had no chemical response until they reacted. So when they reacted in backing up or they reacted in running, then the brain produced the chemical response that brought fear. But sometimes that can happen in such a split second thing that it's like indistinguishable.
Sure.
Because our bodies are phenomenal technology that, you know, can do things like that. But I do think also, like, there's also part of me that's like thinking about that story and I'm like, well, yeah, but it also has to do with your belief system. Like, because your belief system about the bear informs your reaction to seeing the bear.
Let me ask about the other piece of the pie. So do you know, or could you distinguish what was happening with your spirit in that time? Like, it sounds like, based on that last question, like, which came first, right? The chicken or the egg? It was both your soul, like mind, will, emotions, right, and your body reacting to something. What was your spirit doing in that? Or could you distinguish, or was it freaking out too, or what?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, I had a harder time connecting with my spirit during that time period. And I think it's just because I was anchored in my flesh at that moment. And I think when you're anchored in your flesh, it's hard to really get a good glimpse of your spirit. Those higher frequencies, that higher thought pattern, like when you're rooted in what's going on, when there's something wrong, like I've known a few different people that have had conditions in their body where they're in frequent pain. And it sometimes is hard for them to even imagine a life where that isn't going on because they're so rooted in their body. And so there is a whole world happening around them, and there is a whole spiritual element happening, but it can be really hard. And in those moments of anxiety, that was kind of how I felt. Like there would be maybe glimpses of like spiritual aspects, or
like hard to focus on it.
But it was hard to focus on it because I was like, my body was speaking much louder. And that's honestly, like, that's what I would say about that time period. Is leading up to that time period, I had worked on a lot of inner healing and mm-hmm. worked through a lot of stuff and had started to learn to give my body a voice. And there is pretty sound science that your body, I want to quote a book title, your body keeps the score. Like your cellular memory actually holds the record of everything that's ever happened to you. And sometimes not even just you, because your genetic line can hold the record of things that have happened in your genome before you. But that's very much so in your body, as much as it is in the spirit realm. Like I think like we've separated these in terminology because it helps us kind of have a grip of what's going on. But I don't know that they're all that. I don't know that they should be as separate as sometimes we make them. But like, I think I started to give my body a voice, and my body was like, oh,
well, it's like, give me that mic.
We can talk now. Give me the mic. I'm gonna let you know what I think.
Glad you asked.
I do think that was like, I think that was a definite piece of the puzzle. Like whether or not it was the whole thing or not, like, I think that was part of it. It was like, okay, you wanted to hear from the body, here's the body. And so one of the things that became my prayer was, let me heal at a rate that isn't destructive to my body.
Let you heal or let you hear?
Heal. Because like, yeah, I just think that there was part of me that was like, I'm going to go through this healing. I'm going to be transfigured. Like I'm going to do all these things. And then my body was like, okay, this is what it takes. We got to get rid of all this junk. And like, at least to some extent, that was a piece of what was going on.
Sure.
It was bigger than that, but yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, like in talking about the three different parts, and I know arguably there are other parts as well, but like body, soul, spirit, that kind of stuff. I wonder if, because when I asked that question, I had the thought that I don't know that I've known my spirit to ever freak out. Mm. Like pretty even keeled, like we've kind of got our shit together. And but then I thought, like, what if the freaking out is the becoming quiet and the not being able to focus? You know what I mean? Because I think, I don't know, I'm just pondering this as I'm saying it. I think our spirit is that thing that gets us connected to heaven, gets us connected to the Holy Spirit, to Yeshua, to the Father. Like it is a spirit to spirit connection. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes it's harder, like when your body and your mind are freaking out, it's hard to hear and it's hard to focus there. But is it because our spirit then becomes quiet? Like, is that the way, at least for myself, I'm talking about this, is that the way that my spirit freaks out? You know what I mean? And then that's why it makes it hard to focus, because I have those times as well. I haven't been through the experience you've been through. But I mean, we all have different situations and have different times of all of us freaking out. This topic was spurred a little bit. If you're watching on video, you may be able to see it. I have hives breaking out all over my body, and I don't know why. And I'm trying to figure it out, because I haven't had any big changes. Like, my diet hasn't changed. I didn't eat anything out of the ordinary. No, my laundry detergent's been the same for the last 15 years. Like, I've not been exposed to different things. Haven't taken any medication or vitamins or, you know, like, none of those normal things. And I've had people tell me, oh, you must be stressed. And I'm like, well, I don't think I'm stressed. Like, I feel like I would feel it if I was stressed. But then I've also been thinking, I haven't acted on it yet. Maybe I need to just have a conversation and ask my body, hey, do you think we're stressed? You know, like,
it's probably a good place to start,
right? Like, what's really going on? But that's kind of what spurred this, is kind of those big reactions that we get when maybe not all of us knows what's going on, but part of us does. And it reacts. And I think if there's a time for unity in your own body, this is one of those times. Like, what a good reminder when part of you starts freaking out, you know? And then I guess more on a macro scale, as it was coming out of my mouth, I thought, well, what about the body of Christ? And when one part of it starts displaying something that is out of the norm and doesn't seem well, like, shouldn't the rest of us listen instead of me just being like, I don't know, what could I do to my body, for just scratching and like itching? And I could potentially curse it, like curse my body for reacting, but I don't think that's a healthy way to go about it.
Yeah.
But again, in the broader sense, I think sometimes we could have a reaction the same way in the body of Christ when one part starts freaking out or acting out of the norm. Instead of just cursing and dividing, we could actually check in to see what's going on and have that communication. There you go. There's my big mind-blowing moment.
It just makes me think of society today and society over the past 20 years, maybe, and how there's been a, maybe somewhat out of necessity, somewhat out of desire, maybe somewhat out of a malevolent intent, I don't know, but a push to kind of ignore your body. Here, take a, you hurt, take a pill. Like, yeah. your diet's out of whack, take a pill. Like,
yeah, it's like turn off the reaction, right?
Yeah, it's to it, like, yeah, turn off the reaction. I think that's a great word. And so it just makes me think, like, yeah, when we're looking at the body of Christ, of course our natural response is going to be to ignore it, because that's, or cut it out of our life, or yell at it, or whatever, because that's the way that we as a society have dealt with our body as a society. However, I would say over the past 5-6 years, recently, there has been a bigger push towards physical health, towards mental health, towards emotional health. Like, there's been like kind of a revealing of the body that has come personally to a lot of people. There's a lot of people talking about the importance of the body from a non-spiritual point of view. And then in society, you have pieces of the church that are being very loud and very vocal about what's hurting them.
Sure.
And I think that is a, like, I think it's a sign. I think the first part followed, like, shove it down, don't listen to it, And so we sort of went through that phase. And now I think we're like starting to do it and things are starting to have a loud voice.
You're like, give me the mic.
It feels a bit chaotic sometimes in society, but I think that that is just speaking to where we are and that we are starting to give things a voice that haven't had a voice, things that have been shoved down. Mm-hmm. And really it brings an opportunity. Like one of the biggest things that I had to do when I was dealing with anxiety was start learning to love myself. And we've talked about this before on the podcast. It's not like a egotistical, oh, I'm the best, I love myself. It's a true, do you love who you are? Mm-hmm. Like, and that was a big piece of the puzzle because I didn't.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was on.
I think the spiritual part. I don't know that we love the body so much.
I think you're right. I was in a conversation the other day and somebody referred to a book. I think it was by Mel Robbins. I don't read a lot of self-improvement stuff or like nonfiction stuff. Honestly, I think I've talked about this before, but it was like this principle of high-fiving. Have you heard of this?
I don't think so.
About high-fiving yourself in the mirror. And I know it sounds really silly. And I also thought it sounded really silly, but I had this thought about it. And it is essentially like every time you're at a mirror, you go and you high five yourself and you say like, good job, or like, hey girl, or whatever it is. And I had this thought about like, I in my life have had this thing where I would avoid myself in the mirror. Not because I think I'm ugly or because there's something like wrong with me. I'm just like, don't make eye contact. But I realized I've been snubbing myself like my whole life. Like if you walked into a room and somebody you loved wouldn't even look at you, how would that make you feel? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes like you're talking about, like you've got to learn how to love yourself. Like in scripture, love your neighbor as you love yourself. How are you loving your neighbor if you don't love yourself? Probably not very well, because you have to be able to know how to love yourself. And so are you snubbing them when they come in the grocery store? Are you, you know, do you ignore them? You don't want to make eye contact because you don't want to have an interaction. You don't want to make a connection. Well, I don't know. At least for me, that was a big like, oh crap, I've been doing that. You know what I mean? Mm. Like completely ignoring myself while saying that I'm loving others.
That's a thing.
It's a thing. It's a thing. So I've not started high-fiving myself, but I'm trying to be intentional about making eye contact.
We talked about this once of how like one of the simplest things you can do to create new neural pathways is to brush your teeth with the opposite hand you normally do while looking in the mirror and saying, I love you. It's challenging. If you guys weren't with us when we were talking about that, I encourage you to try it. Like it feels awkward. You feel awkward while you're doing it. It feels awkward to look at yourself and say, I love you. If you've never like had that practice before.
Yeah, for sure. I was trying to think of what that episode was.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't know either.
It's very possible it was during our action series, but I don't remember. So
maybe I feel like we talked about ruts and the donkey going around with the mill. Didn't we talk about, isn't that, I think it was maybe. That episode.
Might have been. I don't know. Just go back and check out all 217 episodes before this. It's somewhere.
In there. And it's not in bonus content. So
that's true.
Oh, that's funny. Thanks for sharing all of that today, Josh.
Yeah.
It was
a good conversation. There's been a lot that I've learned from it. And it has given me capacity in my life that I never knew I didn't have. Like sometimes, like I would have probably said before that I was a deep person who had a lot of capacity, and it's not even remotely close to how I feel now. My ability to hold multiple things at once and not have to have one of them be the one that I have, like, it's totally unparalleled to where I have been before.
That's good. So would you, this is probably a stretch, would you say you're grateful for that time?
Well, because it's already passed, yes. In the moment, had there been another way to achieve it that was softer, I probably would have picked that. I don't know. There's been a lot of people I've known who've dealt with similar feeling in their body and mind. And it's truly unsettling. It truly shook me to the core of who I was. And I really wouldn't wish that anyone would have to go through that. And right. So grateful for it because it's past, yes. But I also am like, I think there's probably better ways. Like, I think there's probably things you can do without having to take that road.
Do you, I'm just going back into more questions. I just like to ask questions, apparently. Do you feel like it was kind of, I don't want to say necessary. Like, had you dealt with some other things before, maybe it wouldn't have gotten to that point. Or do you think this is just the path that you needed to take? Or do you just think it's one of the paths and that's the one that your whole self went down?
I think I got what I was asking for. I think I was asking, like, for God to heal parts of me and really just pursuing opening up and opening up and opening up and opening up. And I think I got, like, I think there were ways I could have dealt with it differently. But I don't know. I didn't. And so it's the path that happened.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. There was fruit from it. So that's good.
Yeah. One last question and then we can wrap it up. If there's somebody who's going through something similar or feels like they're going through something similar, do you have like a good piece of advice or a word of encouragement?
Yeah, book an appointment with my wife. She's an emotional health coach, and I think she's great at helping people walk through what's going on in their body and give a... Sometimes all it needs is to be named. Like, when I was really spiraling, I couldn't have told you anything that was going on. And so I just needed to know it was seen. And so that's probably what I would say is, like, can you sit with the scary long enough to see what's really there? It's likely that it's not world changing, life ending. It could be something very small, but until you can see it, it feels like it's life ending.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate you. Okay. You guys, we'll see you next time.
See you.
Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.